We're so thankful to be able to come back with this second lesson. We're still under the heading of not with observation in Luke 17 and verse 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And Jesus said in John 14 that I'll send you another comforter and he will abide with you forever. He will abide with you and shall be in you. That's what he's talking about. We want to skip on down and look at a verse in the same chapter. Excuse me. Luke 17 and verse 37. His disciples are asking him now, "Lord, where will the kingdom of God be, and how will we know where it is?" And he gives a very unique answer. It's also in Matthew chapter 24. You'll find it there. And he says to them in Luke 17 and verse 37, "And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." The Apostle Paul heard a man calling him, and he went over to see who it was, and it turned out to be a woman, Lydia, and the women washing their clothes down by the river. Dear soul, that's where the whole church started in Asia, or was it Europe? In Europe. And Paul had to recognize that here the eagles are gathered together. There wasn't a synagogue. There wasn't a building. There wasn't a great edifice that was there with men in fancy-dressed costumes and doing all kind of stuff. It was women washing clothes. But he saw that as eagles gathered together around Christ. They had a hunger for Christ. And the church started in Lydia's house. So how do you know where the kingdom of God is? Here's Jesus' answer. This is Jesus' answer. Listen. "And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Now in Matthew 24, it reads, "Whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." So that's Matthew 24 and verse number 28. "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." That's his answer to his disciples that says, "Where, Lord?" That was their question. So he gives them this understanding. Let's see what we can find out about this. Remember, the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So we want to be in spirit and in truth, and we want to understand and see and perceive where the eagles are. Matthew 24:28 and Luke 17:37. What are the eagles? Very familiar verse. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse number 31. The last verse in Isaiah 40. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Don't be in a big hurry. "Well, we just moved into this city. We got to go through the yellow pages and check on all these churches." Wait till the Lord shows you where the eagles are gathered together. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Because they are able to soar into the heavens and be able to be close to God Almighty and sit in spiritual heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then that whatever is required, if running is required, they'll be able to run and not be weary. But if it's just required a walk in a certain portion of your life, just walking with the Lord, they shall not faint, because they have been able to soar into the spirituals and have an understanding and a perception of God. Why? Because they have been able to identify the true church as a spiritual organism and not just a religious organization. The Amplified reads of Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "They shall mount up close to God as the eagles mount up to the sun." So we want to understand some things about eagles. In Leviticus chapter 11, and verse number 3, the first thing we find out about eagles is the first thing we found out about ourselves. In Leviticus 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth." Verse 3, "Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat." And he goes on to tell them those things that are unclean, that they cannot eat, that they cannot have part with. And one of them is the eagles. I got the wrong verse down. Let's see if I can find it right quick so you know where it is. Let's look at oh, 13. It's not 3, but 13. I do that a lot. I am my own worst enemy. I'm sure you're not that way. Leviticus 11, 13. Okay. "And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls," F-O-W-L-S, the birds, "and they shall not be eaten." It's not that they were nasty, filthy creatures. It's just that God said they're not good for you to digest and try to take them into your system to be able to consume them. In verse 13 of Leviticus 11, "And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten." They are an abomination. Number one, the eagle. You say, "I thought you said we were like eagles." Right. The Bible said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 64, in verse number 6, the first thing you learn about yourself is that you are unclean. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Dear friend, if you have not seen yourself and have not understood and known yourself as a sinner, then why did you need to be saved? It is to the degree that we are sinners, to the degree that we need a Savior. If I'm not much of a sinner, I don't need much of a Savior. But dear soul, if you find yourself like this, we are as an unclean thing. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are undone. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's glory is His uniqueness. That's what makes God unique from every other thing in the entire universe, His glory. But we fell short of that. Look, if you will, to Job chapter 9. The book of Job chapter 9 and verse number 26. "They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." The eagle is an unclean bird. We're passed away as the swift ships. We are passed away as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. We are swift to sin, dear soul. The poison of asp is under our lips. We have to realize and confess ourselves to be sinners and own ourselves to be sinners, because that's the only ones that Jesus Christ came to save. Luke 19 says he came to seek and save that which was lost. And if you're not lost, he's not going to seek and save you. That's the only one God saves. And so the Lord has chosen the foolish things, the base things, the things that are despised, yea, the things that are not, so that no flesh should glory in his presence, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we understand the eagle is an unclean bird. Now, second of all, while we're in Job, look at Job 39 and verse 27. And we find out that the eagle is not under man's control. Job 39, verse 27. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. There's your verse. Where the eagles are gathered together, where the carcass is. Job 39 and verse 30. He says, her young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. But prior to this, Job is asked these questions, and God asked him, do you cause the eagle to mount up at your command? And did you teach the eagle to make her nest up high? What is he saying? We are not under man's control. Dear soul, we are under God's absolute sovereignty and his authority. We are sinners. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The eagle was an unclean bird, so we are unclean. The man who had leprosy, when he saw the city gate open and the high priest coming out towards him, had to cover his lips and cry, unclean, unclean. It was his responsibility to warn everybody that they need to stay away from him because he was an unclean leper. That's a picture of sin and the sinner. And we are unclean. Then, dear soul, how in the world are we going to be cleansed? Man can't command the eagle. Man can't train that eagle to make his nest up on the high crags and on the high rocks. And we've already quoted these verses in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse number 8 through 10. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Did you command the eagle? No. Well, you got that bird sitting on that perch in your house, and it says, Polly wants a cracker. Yeah, but that's a parrot. You ever trained an eagle? No. They're beyond man's control and beyond man's command. How are you going to get saved? God's going to have to do it. It's in the sovereignty of Almighty God. How did you get saved? God saved me. Did he save you on purpose? Why, sure he did. Then he'll never regret it. He did it because he intended to do it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Tell me about your salvation. Well, I went to a revival meeting at the church. We usually had them in the late fall. And that's when I got saved. And that preacher was preaching, and I went down the aisle, and I bowed, and, oh, listen. That could have been what was going on, but dear soul, you didn't get saved because of that man or by that aisle or that church or even your confession. If you're saved, it's because God saved you. You never wanted a new heart till God had given you one. because the man that's sinful is dead in trespasses and sins. He can't want, he's dead. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any, it's not of works. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I am a new creature or a new creation. God purposely, hands-on, created me. That's how you get born again, Nicodemus. Unto good works. Now, it's not of works in verse number 9. I don't work in order to be saved. But once I am saved, it's unto good works. He says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wait a minute. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 4, it says, according as he, God, hath chosen us in him in Christ before the foundation of the world. God chose the sinner before the foundation of the world, but Ephesians 2:10 tells us that the works that he was to walk in were also ordained. God never has ordained to save a single sinner that he didn't ordain that sinner to walk in good works in order that he might show to himself and have confidence that God saved him and to others that Jesus Christ is within him. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. The book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. If I can find it, here it is. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. When can you bring forth good works? You don't bring forth works in order to become, saved. You bring forth good works after you are saved. A baby cannot do anything till after its birth. And dear soul, listen, it don't say goo goo gaga gaga and learn how to say mama and daddy in order to become a baby. But it says those things because it is a baby. And the apple tree does not produce apples in order to become an apple tree. It produces apples because it is an apple tree. And the sinner cannot produce good works in order to become saved. It produces good works because he has been saved. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, on a lampstand, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You can't have good works till after you're born again. It said, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See that eagle? Yeah. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? You just stop what you're doing and watch. You hear the shrill shrieks of that eagle as he flies through the air. Beautiful thing. And it makes you know that man didn't create that, and man can't control that. That's the Lord. Why did God do that? Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. The book of Romans, chapter 1, if I can get to it, and verse number 20. For the invisible things of him, the invisible things of God himself, the invisible things of the person of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Invisible things of God, invisible, immortal, the only wise God. The invisible things of God can be clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. How much can we understand of God, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are all without excuse? You see that eagle? Yeah. You don't believe in Christ? No. Well, then you're without excuse. Creation and the glories of creation can render you inexcusable. But it cannot cause you to be saved. It cannot redeem you, but it will condemn you. The heavens declare the glory of God. Too late now. You know the glory of God, and you're not saved. And then in Jeremiah chapter 49, we're just looking at a few things about the eagle. And we're just looking at that verse in Matthew 24:28, and in Luke 17:37, where the eagles gather together around the carcass, trying to understand some things about that. In Jeremiah 49 and verse number 16, we find that the eagle then nests on high. Jeremiah 49:16, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou should make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. The eagle makes his nest on high. You have made your nest in the height of the hill. And he said, like the eagle's nest, as high as the eagle's nest, then you are understood then as an eagle to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen, dear soul, are you born again? Lift up your head. Listen. Quit poor mouthing and thinking, well, I ain't worth nothing. Of course you're not. Whoever thought you was? But God saved you, and he makes your nest on high. Can you bow your heart anytime, any place, and speak to Almighty God? Yes. Isn't that great? You're seated in heavenly places. The eagle makes its nest up in the heights. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Dear soul, can you just walk into your governor, the governor of your state's office, anytime you want? No. They stop you before you get in there unless you've got an appointment. And then folks like me just can't just get an appointment just because I want to. Not that I want to, but I'm just making a point. And they're so, how then can you go before the King of Kings? How can you go before the governor or the presidents or the kings or the queens, Lord, anytime you want, and not think that you are able to rest up on high with the glories of God? You are in spiritual places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Make it 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Dear soul, you are a born-again believer. You are not a religionist. A religionist is somebody standing on earth looking towards heaven. But you are somebody sitting in heavenly places, judging the affairs of life by the Holy Spirit within you. You sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, eagles are an unclean bird. Yes, they cannot be controlled by man. God is in control of them. And so God has sovereignly saved you and brought you into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I want you to understand this. In Ezekiel chapter 1, in verse number 10, they are a symbol of God's life within man's soul. In Ezekiel chapter number 1, it says in verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, four living creations. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And in verse number 10 it says, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man. They had the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Here is the definition of God as he looks and sees the life of God within the soul of man. You want to know what your spiritual man looks like? There it is. You need to study out man and oxen and eagles. And what was the other? Calf. We see the four Gospels. He said the likeness of a man. That's Luke, the physician. He brings you into the awareness of God through the everyday man. The face of a lion, that's Matthew. He brings you the kingdom of God. And they had the face of an ox, that's Mark, the suffering servant. And then the face of an eagle, that's John, soaring in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But that's also you. You have the benevolence and the kindness of a man. You have the sacrifice of the ox. We are to live, give ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And not only as a man or of the ox, but of the lion. Boldness. He said, come in boldly into the presence of Almighty God. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to hold back. You've got the spirit of not only the man and the ox, but of the lion. And go in the presence of God with boldness, not with arrogance, not with sinful pride, but with confidence that you know that God made the way for you. He split the veil when he tore his wounds open. And the apostle said, we can enter into the very holy of holies through the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, of the eagle. Dear soul, have you ever had the experience of maybe unexpectedly by yourself, seated alone someplace, and the Holy Spirit raised you up and had a consciousness of the glory of Almighty God? Wasn't in church, didn't have a Bible in my lap, but had the Holy Spirit in my heart. You were exercising yourself as that eagle soaring in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the eagle is the symbol of God's life in the soul of man. Now, why? Look in the Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 14, and look at the church as a woman in the wilderness. Revelation chapter 12. God throws the devil out of heaven. Verse 8, there's no place found for him anymore in heaven. He was cast out, and he was cast out into the earth. And the Bible says, woe unto them that are on the earth. Here comes the devil. Rejoice, you heavenlies, and you that dwell in them, you that are spiritual, and you sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Rejoice. The devil is not in your community anymore. You sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and he's been thrown out. But then when he comes down to the earth, it says, and when the dragon saw, this is Revelation 12:13, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now listen, how did God help her out? And the woman, Revelation 12:14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. How long is that? For as long as it's necessary. The Bible said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Go into the wilderness. And we read you in 1 John chapter 2 that we have a place with God, and the devil cannot intrude there. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Go into your place in the wilderness. Get out of the things of the world. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. That's how I know that the majority of those people who are popular and whose names and faces you see constantly, and maybe senators or presidents or whatever, you know, rich people and famous people, they don't know God. He says, love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Settle it. For all that is in the world is included in this. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And dear soul, so the woman was given two wings of the great eagles to fly out into the wilderness, into her place. Come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her plagues or of her sins. Revelation 18:4. And come out of those things that are carnal. Come out of the harlot church. Stay out of the world. Well, I got to live in the world. I understand that. I ain't talking about physically. I'm talking about separating yourself from those things that appeal to the flesh. Love not the world. You have to be in the world, but you don't have to love it. The more I stay in the world, the more I'm grieved over it. Sad to be able to have to stay in this mess and see it get worse and worse and worse. And yearning for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand and see that the woman representing the church is given the wings of the great eagle to fly into the wilderness, into her place. Dear soul, there is a place near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. So you can flee to your awareness of the glory of Almighty God, and you can cry out to the Lord, and he will let you transcend without leaving the planet Earth, without leaving your chair. Without leaving the ground, you can go to see the presence and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and be encouraged thereby. And listen, why are they gathered? It says, and we read you in Job, what was it, 39? Yep, Job 39. I'll find it again in a minute. Job 39 and verse 30. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. That's the Old Testament verse, Job 39 and verse 30, that goes along with the New Testament verses in Matthew 24. In verse 28, and Luke 17 and verse 37, where are the eagles gathered together? Where the body is, Luke says. Where the carcass is, Matthew says. And isn't it amazing of the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ to have himself termed as a carcass or as a body, so that you might understand and see exactly what he's talking about in John chapter 6, as we begin to read in verse 53. Verses that caused a lot of people to turn and walk away from him. Verses that it took me decades to be able to come and understand a little bit and to be able to receive them and not be offended by them in John chapter 6 and verse 53. John 6, 53. Listen. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now that's a hard verse. Drinking his blood. Immediately you do like Nicodemus and you want to go natural of that thing, but you can't. You know that has to be my words of spirit, and they are life. So you understand that what he's talking about is that we spiritually feast off of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're consuming him by faith so that we might have life. He says in verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Keep on reading. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." This is talking about the spiritual man living and feasting off of the very essence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand that. Keep on reading. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." A little bit clearer. It's talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling within you and about you dwelling in Christ. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." Now, let's go to verse 57, and this will help you understand some things. It will also put you in some deep water, but you need to pray and meditate upon this verse and think about what the Lord is saying. John 6:57, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Well, that don't help me much. Well, keep on thinking, keep on reading, keep on praying, and keep on reading. And then you have to go to John chapter 17 and understand, how in the world does Jesus live off the Father? "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, even so he that eateth me, he shall live by me." What is it, John 14:19? I can't remember. Look it up. It says that because I live, ye shall live also. And he made you understand in the 15th chapter of John that he was the vine, and ye are the branches. He's the vine, and you're the branches that go off the vine. Which one has the root in it, the vine or the branches? Well, the vine, of course. And as Jesus draws the life from God, the root of the vine draws the nourishment from the soil. It sends it by the sap up to the branch elongates itself, and it begins to grow leaves, and it also begins to produce fruit. The grapes come from the branch. So the Lord says, do you understand how the relationship between the vine and the branch? Well, yeah, I know that you can't have a grape without a branch, and you can't have a branch without a vine, because the vine has a root, right? "And when men are cast forth as a branch, they die and wither, and they cast into the fire." People that are separated from the power and the presence and the unction of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ, "because I live, ye shall live also, and the Spirit of the living God, the living Christ, flows through me and gives me life. Because he lives, I live also." You're getting there. "As the Father..." Excuse me, got air in my throat. Listen, let's go back to John chapter 6. "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." How does Jesus Christ live by the Father? Well, that's beyond my understanding. Well, let me ask you this. How do you live by Jesus Christ? Well, he dwells in me. It's not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Got it? Yes. And so we go to John 17 and we hear the Trinity communing with itself. And we hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Father concerning not only the Father's life in him, but the Father's life in us. because Jesus Christ is in us. I'm not just possessed by the Son of God. I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit of the Son of God and the Father. Listen, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thy Son also may glorify thee. What hour has come? The one hour God had put a red X on the calendar from the time he made Adam, before he made Adam. For the Lamb, he was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so we see that God has said, this is the time that I'm going to redeem man. This is the time when sin is going to be handled. This is the time when I'm going to bring them out from innocence in the first Adam to glory in the last Adam. Dear soul, if would you like to live in a whole world of nothing but three-year-olds? Drive you crazy. We say the innocent little creatures. Yeah, Adam was innocent. But dear soul, God wanted to bring him to glory. For glory is the uniqueness of God. And God wanted there to be some compatibility between the bride and the bridegroom. That there had to be some maturity in her. How are you going to do that? How is grace going to much more abound? Romans chapter 5. For where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And by one man's fall, sin entered into the world and condemnation upon all men. That's the first Adam. But by the obedience of one, God brought righteousness unto the last Adam's, his son's bride. Sin is not good. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Shall we sin that grace should much more abound? God forbid. But in the infinite wisdom of Almighty God, who dwells in glory, and would bring you not to innocence in the first Adam, but wants to bring you into glory where he dwells in the last Adam. And dear soul, it's in glory where only eternal life dwells. God has always been. There's never been a point or a time or a condition or a situation where God was not. What's your name? I am that I am. He is being. How do you sustain eternality? Glory. Where was God before creation? He was in his glory. How in the world are those people who are truly born again believers and have gone on to be with the Lord and have left this earth? Their bodies are still buried in the earth. How are they being sustained without teeth to chew, throat to swallow, stomach to digest? They can't eat. They don't have anything to eat with or to do anything with the food if they did eat. Their bodies, you were there when you put your granny in the ground. How is she living now? Eternal life is sustained with glory. Where was God before creation? In his glory. He is eternal. Glory sustains eternality. So now he would bring us from the innocence in the first Adam, so that Adam sinned in order that sin might abound, so that grace could that much more abound and bring us from the state of innocence into the state of glory. And now we shall be eternal. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Glory to God. My word. Why did the eagles gather together? That they might drink of the hot blood. that they might partake of the life of God. For the book of Leviticus tells us that the life is in the blood. You can cut off your nose and you won't die. You can cut off your fingers and you won't die. But dear soul, you stab your heart and your blood runs out, you're dead. Life is in the blood. So God gave the blood of the Lamb of God in order that we might be brought into life. And we see, dear soul, that blood that cleansed us and washed us from our sins has caused us to be brought into the glory of Almighty God. Glorify me. When? In this hour. What hour? The hour of the crucifixion. The most glorious hour there's ever been in heaven or earth. Nothing has ever been like it. The sun quit shining. The moon turned to blood. The earth began to quake. People began to raise from the dead and come out of the ground. Nothing like this had ever been that way before, because this is the uniqueness of God bringing us to the hour that would cause elect believers to come to the place of being able to enter into eternality in the glory of God and be made compatible with God. My great granny, she was Granny Birdsong. She was my grandmother's mother. And I remember when she died in that little house that my grandmama and granddaddy lived in, and I stayed with them quite often. She died in that back bedroom. And I remember her daughters speaking about her after she was dead. And I heard one of them say, well, Mama has entered into her glory. Or Mama has gone to glory. That's what they said. Mama has gone to glory. And I thought glory was a place like, well, that was in LaGrange, Georgia. Well, I thought it was just a place. But after God saved me and God began to open up the scriptures to me and began to make me understand and perceive the things of God, I began to find out that glory wasn't a place. It was a condition of life. For whom he did foreknow them, he also he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And whom he justified them, he also, what? Let me get over here and read it to you. Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God started this thing out, and he that hath begun a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, is not going to quit till it's done. And he's not going to quit until you are glorified, not just like I thought my great granny was. She went to glory, a place. No, she went to her glory, because whom God justified, them he also glorified. How shall I live eternally? I shall live eternally because of glory. Glory is required for there to be eternal life. I am that I am. I have always existed. There's never been a time without me. I want my children to be brought to me. I have chosen you in him, in my Son. And what is my Son's responsibility? He shall glorify me. And he goes on in John 17, and you go over there and read, and I'm not going to elongate this message by trying to read a lot more and bring more to you. I want you to read it. In John 17, verse 22 on down, just several verses from 22 through 26, and read what Jesus says about your glory. Like the eagles, where is the true church of God? Wherever the carcass is, that's where the eagles are gathered together. Just so there's no true worship in just performing religious tradition. There's only true worship in spirit and in truth. And this has to be done by the person of the Holy Ghost in God's people. Thank you so much. I hope this has helped you. I hope it's confused you a little bit so you'll get in there and try to dig it out and find out for yourself. Study to show thyself approved. Brother Bobby, you come on. Bring us some good music, my brother.
One with the Father, taught by the Holy Ghost, in love from God the Father. The blood of Christ has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah to his name. Can make me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can for these sins atone? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is a foe that makes me white as snow. The fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.